Good morning, Vista Grande Baptist Church. I love saying that. I bring you warm greetings from Levine Baptist Church. And I say warm because it's going to be a little over 100 today. So yes, I told them all I'm going to go suffer for Jesus in Colorado Springs. I want to start this morning by reading Proverbs 22:1. It's just going to be kind of my initial thought verse. We're never going to go back to it again, but I want you to hear it. And before I begin, I have to acquiesce to my age and put these on. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. A good name. In our modern society, names are just that, a name. And rarely is the meaning of the name thought about. Now, it can be interesting, if you haven't done it already, to look up the meaning of your name. Some of you may be really surprised. Some of you may go, that's what it means? My mother named me Leon. You're thinking, you don't look like a Leon. I am. But the name comes from the word for lion and means brave. My middle name, my common name, as heard in the introduction, is Harry. Harry comes from a word meaning warrior. So my mom did a really great job accidentally naming me Brave Warrior. It really helped in those 30 years in law enforcement. In an article I read some time back, and I'm constantly reading, I read a lot, I find ideas, I find things, I think they're interesting. I usually write down where I got it. At this particular reason, I don't know, I didn't write it down. But what I learned, this interesting item in this article, was that in certain parts of India, many girls were given the name Nakudo. Now, I got the proper pronunciation of that actually on the flight up here. I just happened to be seated by a young lady. We're getting ready for the plane to finish loading. She was speaking on her phone, saying goodbye to friends in a language that was very foreign to my ear, but I thought, I think that sounds like Hindi. And so I asked her, I said, excuse me, what language were you speaking? She gave me the particular group name. She said, it's from southern India. I said, perfect. I have this word. I'm going to be speaking on it. Could you tell me the proper pronunciation? When I gave it, she said, oh yeah, that's Nakudo, which is not the way it's spelled in English. So I said, thank you for that. But that name was given to young girls at birth when the parents were hoping for a boy. The local superstition said that if parents named their daughter Nakudo, that they can end the girl curse and improve their odds of having a boy the next time. Nakudo means unwanted. They named their daughters unwanted. So it's no surprise that in 2011, when the Indian government gave them the opportunity to change their name, thousands of young women came forward to change their name so that they could no longer be called Nakudo, unwanted. Somewhere around, I don't have the exact date, around 1989, and yes, Stephanie, I'm going to tell a story about you because you're here and they know you. My wife and I had just had our third daughter, who the Lord in His love and grace and mercy took home 45 minutes after her birth. And as we were dealing with that and going through that as a family, we had two girls. We had given birth to this daughter, who I said survived for 45 minutes. And Stephanie came up to me one day and said, Dad, Did you wish I was a boy? I said, No, I'm glad for who you are. And I'm still glad. You may have grown up not liking your name. My mother's name was Mildred. She hated it. So she went by Millie. I now have a granddaughter, Millie, named after my mom, but it's just Millie. So you may have grown up saying, oh gosh, why did my parents call me that? But you see, here's the interesting thing. As human beings on this planet, we have all come to a place where we need a new name. We were born needing a new name. You see, right from birth, God has labeled us with some pretty awful names. I'm going to run through these. But listen, in Romans 5:10, we are named enemies. Someone in intentional opposition. In Ephesians 2:12, we are called strangers or foreigners. Someone who's obviously not been a part of the group. And if you've gone to school and been out on the playground, you've been probably in those places where you weren't a part of the group. In Ezekiel 20:38, we were known as rebels. Again, more intentional opposition. In Romans 1:30, and this is kind of a very modern name, we were called haters. Y'all seen that online? You disagree with somebody, what do they call you? Oh, you're a hater. But let me give you the biblical idea here is it's those who think about God in very negative ways that it's evident in their life. In Ephesians 5:5, we are called impure. This word means unclean, but in Scripture, it's really more identified with demons and demonic activity when you are called impure. And finally, in Romans 10:3, we are simply known as ignorant. But this isn't just about being taught. There's an idea here of even disregarding that which we do know. And see, this is why one of the reasons we need a name change is because God has put it in the hearts of man to recognize who he is just in the rising of the sun and the coming of the seasons. He says, the heavens themselves shout information. And yet, as humans, we have disregarded that. We are ignorant. Listen to those names. Enemies, strangers, rebels, haters, impure, ignorant. And it's because of all of these names, our natural state is described in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, as being children of wrath. Listen to this. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Like the rest of mankind. What a name! Do you think we need a name change? And because we still struggle with sin in our lives, sometimes we may think that God still views us with those titles. Man, I blew it yesterday. Or maybe this morning on the way to Vista Grande. And now I see myself at those names of enemy and rebel. Additionally, other people may have thrown some names on you. Again, I'm going to take you back, not necessarily even to your childhood, but that's where it tends to happen a lot. Where people may have called you things like dumb, ugly, nerdy, stupid. And for all of the boomers in the room like me, uncool. Or maybe even worthless. Do you recognize being called those names? Maybe it was racially based names. Humanity loves to put names on other people that are demeaning. But God says, you need a new name. One of the entities out there that is constantly trying to tear us down is Satan himself. Then in Revelation 12:10, we see that he is the one trying to accuse us before God constantly, calling us names like hater, rebel, enemy. Listen to Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. That's one of Satan's main job, is to accuse you, to call you names. All of these names that we hear or that are going off inside of our head are screaming that we are nakudo, that we are unwanted. Who we are, how we look, and what we've done can make us feel that people don't want us, that we don't want ourselves, and that God could not possibly want me either. In my counseling and dealing with people at my church and working with police officers and just generally in being a Christian teacher, which I have been for a long time, with my students at Grand Canyon, I have them come to me on a regular basis and say, but professor or pastor or whatever title I'm going by in that instance, you don't know what I've done. I say, absolutely, I don't. And I don't care. You can tell me if you want, but I don't need to know. God knew. And because we're on this side of the cross, Jesus knew when he got on that cross. And he wants to give you a new name that has nothing to do with those past behaviors. The nation of Israel knew this type of thinking really well. See, there's nothing new about us. People haven't changed a lick. It's one of the great things I love studying about history and biblical history is I go in and realize that the people of 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, are just as messed up as we are. Fact is, one of the common phrases I say is the only difference between me and people 2,000 years ago is people now can get stupid faster. Thank you, Internet. The nation of Israel knew this type of thinking really well. They understood what it meant to be forsaken and desolate, no longer loved or delighted in by God. But listen to what God said to them in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 2 through 5. This is what God says about this rebellious, messed up group of people. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. God himself is going to give you a new name. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, and your land shall no longer be termed desolate. You shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Really hard to rejoice on somebody named enemy, hater, children of wrath. God's people received a name change directly from his mouth. God changed their name. They no longer would be called forsaken and desolate. They instead would be called the very delight of God. In another instance, in the prophet Hosea's book, his entire family is this great word picture. And his family circumstances become a picture of the nation of Israel. In Hosea chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, and then later in chapter 2, verse 23, God tells his people that he would show mercy to them who were known as no compassion. That's what he had named his children, no compassion. Great name, kind of ranks right up there with unwanted. And he changed their name from not my people, the name of his other kid, to you are my people. You want to read about name changes, read the little book of Hosea. It's amazing. In God's mercy, he always changes the title names to reflect who he has made us into. I've had some very interesting title names over the course of my life. Husband, father, police, officer, or other terms. Pastor, professor. Apparently I like title names with P. All of those were conferred upon me. How does God change our name? Because as Christians, we have all had a name change. Referring to those prophecies that I kind of just alluded to, Peter also is alluding to them, and he reminds sinners that these realities belong to us. It is who we are. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 16 and 19, 16 through 19. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And because of that, now I'm going to flip into the next chapter, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because of what we just read, listen to this name change. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen to those name changes. A chosen race. Not nerdy. Not enemy. Not children of wrath. But a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own cherished possession. And this is the power of the gospel. We, my brothers and sisters at Vista Grande Baptist Church, we have a new name. All those old names are gone. They have been changed. God has spoken a new name. In Jesus, we are no longer nakudo. We are no longer unwanted. We are no longer enemies. Instead, God says, you are my people. My delight is in her. His new name for all of us corporately is the Bride of Christ. And he rejoices over us in love. Come August, I'm going to be married for 45 years. Woohoo! That's amazing because people literally said, this will not last. You too, mm-mm. And on the day of our wedding, Well, that and being a police officer. If you kind of look at the statistics for divorce by profession, police officers are always in the top five, usually in the top three. Weird work hours, high stress, all that stuff. I made a good decision because I was going to be a police officer. I married the daughter of one, so she knew the game going in. I have a great story that would illustrate that. Don't have time for that. If I'm back here again, I'll give you that one. But on the day of our wedding, we were going to have pictures first. Because there's all that long picture taking and people are waiting for you. And so we were going to have pictures first. Traditionally, the groom is standing there and he's waiting for that bride that he's going to see for the first time in that beautiful dress to come down that aisle. So they arranged for Cindy and I to meet privately. I'm in my tux. I had a top hat because I could. And I'm in this room at our church, and Cindy, by herself, just the two of us, stepped into that room, and I lost my mind. I can't believe that is mine. Fun thing is, 45 years later, I still see that. That's the way God sees you. He does not see an enemy. He does not see a children of wrath. He sees the beautiful, ordained bride of Christ, and he rejoices over you. Being his chosen and cherished, we don't need to feel forgotten, forsaken, unwanted, or unloved ever again. Based on some of your life experiences, some of you, I know, have got to be thinking, Pastor Harry, can this really be true? Can this possibly be true? Because guilty fears may cause us to doubt and think, Lord, how do I know this is true? It mocks any hope that we are wanted. Because the accuser in our own conscience is saying, yeah, but remember the time that you did this? Remember when you said this? Remember when you refused to do that? And we get these names screaming in our head. We need the assurance of God's love that we read about in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 4. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob? He who formed you, O Israel? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. You go through the Old Testament, God says, fear not, a lot. In fact, I wrote a little book on fear called A Year Without Fear. I'd like to recommend it to you all, particularly if you're having insomnia problems. A quick chapter in that. But one of the things I learned was that God says in the Old Testament 365 times to not fear. 365 times. What number does that match up with real well? Every day of the year. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. What a name change. What a name change. Don't miss how God has described you You are redeemed. You are bought back. You are mine. Do you love the fact that God knows you as an individual, not a corporate member of Vista Grande Baptist Church? He knows you and calls you by your name and says, you are mine. You are precious. You are honored. You are loved. Here's God's care for us, announced a long time ago, demonstrated for us in Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. God first became Emmanuel to be with us. And then he became a man of sorrows to die for us. You can see that in Isaiah 53. In fact, it was read this morning in service, which I love the way God orchestrates that. I wrote this several weeks ago, and here is God's verse being applied this morning without any coordination between me and the staff of this church. That's God. He became a man of sorrows to die for us. Then he attained the name of Victor by conquering death to bless us. Listen to how Isaiah describes it prophetically in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 8 through 12. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. See, Jesus bore none of those names. He was not an enemy of God. He was not a child of wrath. He was not a rebel. He was not ignorant, and yet there he was going through the condemnation that those names bring. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted right, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. His life and work proves his unfathomable love. God's love is at a level that we can't even begin to comprehend. As it was said this morning, he is sufficient in himself. He does not need us. And yet, he created us. And because he's omniscient and knows everything, he knew what we were going to do. He knew the names that we were going to be called. And he said, I'm going to do this anyway because I love. This is how he changes our name from forsaken, nakudo, unwanted. And he changes our name to my delight. In a world of changes, that's an awesome change. To change your name completely and for all time. The promise of a name change is a great message to all of us, no matter what your current feelings may be. How deep are the waters of life's disappointment in your life? Are you struggling to keep your nose above the water because of life's disappointments? What names has disease placed on you? Desertion. The departures by people who led you to a place in your life. How fierce is the fury of divorce and the names that has placed on you? the anguish of betrayal, and all the names that come out of them. And even if people haven't called you that name, your conscience and the accuser of the brethren, when you get up in the morning and you're looking in the mirror, you say, that guy's a jerk. He's an enemy. He's a rebel. God says, no, that's not your name. That's not your name. How lonely are your dreary nights? How guilt-ridden is your conscience? How much do you feel betrayed by everyone and even forsaken by God? If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then know this well. God loves you with joy-filled affection. He doesn't just love you. It's, yes, that's mine. He delights over you with a bridegroom's pleasure. He sings over you with unending delight. How many of you even thought about or knew that God himself sings? Why do you think we have music? We're created in God's image. And by the way, your music program here, second to none. Y'all are blessed. Fact is, about the time the battle hymn of the Republic was done, I'm thinking, okay, sermon's done. We're good. God himself sings over you with unending delight. It may be that somewhere in the depths of your mind, you will hear the Creator's Redeemer voice in love, singing your name. Listen to what he had the prophet Zephaniah, write in a promise to his people in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And now you're going to know that God sings. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. There's another one of those 365 fear nots. Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. See, God isn't up there just going, he's belting it. I grew up in a musical household. Some people sing a lot. It was brutal. No, it was a joy. She was home visiting a couple of weeks ago and she was in the kitchen doing something. She was singing. I turned to my wife. I said, that's what God does over you. He sings loudly. Because his emotion for you is just that. But perhaps you're here this morning or listening to this service online and you're still bearing the name Nakudo. You're still feeling unwanted, abandoned, forsaken. You've heard from God's word, you don't have to be there. Maybe you've been coming to Vista Grande Baptist Church for weeks, months, years. And yes, I've heard all this Jesus stuff, and but man, I know what I am. And he says, that's not your name. Do not call yourself that name. I have a name for you, and it is the Bride of Christ. Jesus, by his unmerited death and resurrection, has opened the door for you to experience a name change, to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own cherished possession. Vista Grande Baptist Church, those listening, wherever this internet broadcast goes, understand that your name is not unwanted any longer. And in Jesus, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your name will never, ever be unwanted again. And he's made it very difficult to have this name change. There's a whole list of rules. You have to come to Vista Grande 17 times without missing. You have to put, 20% of your income in the plate and have it recorded. Absolutely none of that is true. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. Notice I didn't even say baptism, and I'm a Baptist. I love dunking people. A few months ago, I flew to Texas to baptize one of my granddaughters, one of the greatest joys of my life. But he didn't even say that. He said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth, you will be saved. I know that's true because there was a thief on the cross beside him that said, you're the guy. I believe that. And when you get to paradise, remember me. And Jesus said, you're going to be with me today. He changed his name on a cross from convicted felon to beloved child of God who would be with him that day in paradise. May we all come to know that we are nakudo no longer. And in Jesus, we never will be again. I'm going to pray. If you have been struggling with a name in your life that you have been calling yourself, understand that that's not your name. If you have been coming to church and listening to stuff and saying, I don't want to be that anymore. God says, believe in me, confess with your mouth, and I've got you. I will change your name permanently and forever. You can do that right where you're seated. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And welcome to your brand new name of beloved child of God.